If you have your Bibles with you today, I'm going to invite you to open it up to a story in Mark chapter 2. And the story begins in verse 1 and kind of finishes out around verse 12. So we're going to read 12 short verses here and talk about this just a little bit today. But the point of today's message is moving forward with forgiveness. Oftentimes people have a challenge receiving forgiveness from God. And then after they receive that forgiveness of God, oftentimes they have a challenge forgiving themselves and not being able to move forward. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about how to move forward with forgiveness, because Jesus came to forgive us of our sin, of our missing the mark of God's glorious standard, what God originally created us to be. The Bible says all people have missed. Jesus came to forgive us of that, but he also came to show us how to hit the mark of God's glorious standard. In other words, hit the target with our life, live life on purpose. And so many people miss this. They think forgiveness is just an act of God to get them to heaven one day, where forgiveness is actually God's way to restore the relationship so he can speak into your life, build you up so you can live life on purpose and be everything he's created you to be. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about walking in the fullness of God's forgiveness and stepping into that in full capacity. So we'll begin with verse 1, and the Bible says this. When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news quickly spread that he was back home. And verse 2 says, soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, these guys' faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man who was on the mat, "My child, your sins are forgiven." Now, this is a radical statement for a human being to be making. Jesus is God in the flesh. He's in human form. And he makes a statement. He says, "My child, your sins are forgiven." What this begins to do is it begins to arouse the crowd. People begin to look at what Jesus is saying and critique what Jesus is saying. The Bible goes on to say this in verse 6. It says, "But some of the teachers of the religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, 'What is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins.'" That they knew that God was the only one who could really forgive people's sins. But Jesus had just made the statement to a man that his sins were forgiven. The Bible goes on to say, Jesus immediately knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, "Why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk?'" Jesus goes on to say in verse 10, "So I will prove to you that the Son of Man, God in the flesh, has the authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and he said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." The Bible goes on to say in verse 12, and the man jumped up. Everybody say, jumped up. This is a response to the forgiveness. The man jumped up. He grabbed his mat. Everybody say, grabbed his mat. Grabbed his mat. That's a response to the forgiveness. It goes on to say, and he walked through the stunned onlookers. Everybody say, walked. Walked. That means he left the room differently than he came in the room. He walked out different because his sins had been forgiven by Jesus. It goes on to say, and it says, so he walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were amazed and they praised God, exclaiming, "We have never seen anything like this before." Today, I want to talk about the power of your testimony. of the testimony that, you know what, your sins have been forgiven and what that means to the world around you and how God can leverage your testimony, your story of his forgiveness and you receiving that forgiveness and moving forward in your life, how that testimony can begin to affect all of those around you so that they also look at the one who forgave your sins. Because what God does is he forgives people of their sin so that they can move forward with their life. And many people aren't living life on purpose, not because God won't forgive them, but they can't even forgive themselves. And again, I want you to know today that God meets you where you are. No matter what mat is holding you back, no matter what has got you on your back, on the ground, there is a God, if you will choose to surround yourself with a community of faith that will get you to the feet of the one who can heal you of your sins. There is one who can heal your sins, and his name is Jesus, and he's the only one that has the authority to forgive you of your sin. But if you will choose to respond to his forgiveness and get off your mat and walk in a new direction, then life can be different. And so I want to talk about the power of your testimony. Are you walking differently since Jesus forgave you of your sin? Because the point of this story is amazing. The point of this story is to show the authority of Jesus. And so many people miss this. There's a lot of people in the story, right? There's some friends that got their friend who didn't have any faith that his sin could be forgiven. There were some friends that picked up the mat and got their friend to Jesus. So there's the friends and there's the paralyzed man. And then there's the crowd. There was a crowd of people listening to what Jesus had to say. And this crowd had all kinds of onlookers in it. The Bible even says some of the people in the crowd were critics. Anybody know any critics? There's always critics in the crowd. But there were some critics that were basically criticizing what Jesus just said. They were there listening, but they were listening with a critical ear. And the Bible says there's the friends, there's the man who was paralyzed, there's the crowd, there's the critics, and then there's Jesus, who they all gathered around. And what was in question was, did he have the authority or not to forgive humanity of their sins? First and foremost, we have to understand what sin is, because sin has affected us all. Big, little, short, or tall. Whether you're small or tall, sin has affected us all. Let's say that together. Big, little, short, or tall, sin has affected us all. Let's say it one more time. Big, little, short, or tall, sin has affected us all. And again, for us to get that in our heart and realize that we have to have purpose restated in our heart, we have to have passion restated in our heart, and we have to understand that God created human beings to be in relationship with him and carry out and permeate his presence in this earth. It's what it says in Genesis 1, why he created human beings, both male and female, was to be fruitful and multiply and permeate his presence throughout the earth. But, you know, that all got off target. And when it got off target, now sin has entered the world, missing has entered the world. But the good news is Jesus comes to display that God forgives humanity of their sin, but doesn't only forgive us of our sin, he begins to show us how not to miss anymore. And so the goal for you shouldn't be, let me receive forgiveness so I can go on sinning. No, the goal for you would be, let me receive forgiveness and get a download from the coach and stop missing the bullseye and get on with hitting the bullseye as many times as I can possibly hit the bullseye with my life. And so many people are like, oh, I received the forgiveness of Jesus, but let me see how far out of God's will I can get. Are you kidding me? Do you understand why Jesus came? He came to forgive you of sin and coach you and help you hit the bullseye, but you got to choose to get off your mat. And see, so many people would rather stay on their mat than get up and be all God created them to be. They want to blame the mat. And my friend, you need to get over your mat and get on with Jesus. Because if Jesus forgives you of your sin, guess what? You need to forgive yourself of your sin. Stand up. Stand up. That's the first thing, right? Did you notice that Jesus says, is it easier to forgive this man of his sins? Or is it easier to say to the man, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk? The first thing that Jesus told the man to do was what? To stand up. Did you notice Jesus doesn't say, look, when I count to three, I want you to stand up. But more so than what Jesus said, did you notice what the man did? Immediately, he stood up. You know what that is? That's obedience. Not because I got to, but because I get to. I believe the voice of the one who just told me to get up off my mat. And I'm not afraid of what he's going to do to me if I don't get up. I'm obedient because I know he is for me and not against me. I believe he wants me to get off my mat and he come to heal me of my sin. And I'm going to stand up because he said, stand up. I wonder how many of you are sitting down in your sin because you know what? You like the attention your sin brings. Because you're like, oh, my friends care so much about me and they'll carry me to the feet of Jesus. Let me tell you something. When you get yourself to the feet of Jesus and Jesus says, get off your mat and walk and stand up, what he expects is immediate obedience. He's not a guy that says, hey, I'm going to put you in the corner and time out and count to three. He's like, look, I need you to get up. See, we've lost sight of what obedience is. And why to be obedient? Be obedient. Some people are obedient because they're afraid. How about if we chose to be obedient because we believe God was for us and not against us? How about if we chose to be obedient and walk in the fullness of who he says that we can be because we believe his voice over our feelings? How about if we chose to be obedient because we believe his ways are higher than our ways and he knows more about my life than I'll ever know about my life and I can choose to be obedient and get up and do what he called me to do? Even though I've gone my own way, God is good enough to forgive me. See, Jesus says this remarkable thing in John chapter 14, verse 15. He says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. What does that mean to you? That doesn't mean you obey my commands because you have to, but you love me so much and you know my love for you in such an intimate way that if I say something, you do it because you know I care about you. Not that I want to hurt you. I come to heal you. My friend, the world will trick you into staying on your mat all day long. But what Jesus says is, look, be obedient immediately. You want to move forward in forgiveness? Then choose to stand up and move away from whatever's holding you back in life. I wonder how many people in here today, because they have sinned in the past, they're not moving forward to life that God called them to live. They're on the mat. They're paralyzed. You know, they made a mistake. They got off track with who God said they were to be. And because they made some horrific mistakes, they can't forgive themselves because they can't fathom a love that would so dare to go to a cross and forgive them of their own sin. They wouldn't even be willing to die for their own sin. But Jesus says, I love you too much to leave you where you are. See, Jesus's love should drive obedience. It should say, you know what? God cared about me when I was broken, I was way off track, I was over here doing this, and he come to love me in my sin. Surely he come to love me, to take me out of it, to show me how to hit the target. How awful would it be if you had a coach or a teacher that all they continually did is told you how bad you missed? You suck. You keep missing the bullseye. You can't even hit the flipping target, much less the bullseye. Come back tomorrow. See, that's not love. But Jesus came to say, you missed, my friend. You missed. You remember John 8? There was a woman in John 8 that the people were accused, but she had been caught in the act of adultery. And the people around her began to accuse her and want to throw rocks at her. You remember what Jesus did? Jesus came in the middle of that scene, and he looked at the ones wanting to throw the rocks at her, stone her, kill her for committing adultery, because you could do that in that particular day and age. And Jesus, he looked at them and said, those without sin, go ahead and throw the first rock. And they all walked away. And then what did Jesus do? Jesus knelt down. He began to draw in the dirt as these people walked away. And then as the woman was watching Jesus, Jesus looked at her in her eye with compassion. And though she had missed the mark of God's glorious standard, he looked at her and said, sin no more. What did that mean? In other words, you've been trusting everything else in the world to bring you happiness. And yeah, you've been caught in the act of adultery. But now I've come with great compassion and knelt before you. I drew in the dirt. I got rid of your accusers. And you know what? I've showed you great compassion. Now you need to get up, lady, and get out of here and stop sinning. Stop missing the mark and get on with the compassion I just showed you. See, he's a God of great love. He's a God of great compassion. He doesn't condemn you for your sin. He forgives you of your sin. But my friend, he always coaches you out of it. He's too good to let you keep on going down that path. He'll get your attention. You can lead yourself to self-destruction if you want to, but God will meet you in the middle of it. He will convict you of the sin, and he will correct it, and he'll begin to show you how to get it right. But you got to receive it. You got to jump up off your mat. Be obedient immediately. The next thing is this, is Jesus doesn't only tell him to stand up, immediate obedience, but Jesus tells him to pick up his mat. And this man had been on that mat all his life. But Jesus, now being the authority, showing himself as authority, he says, look, that mat has had authority over your life. As a matter of fact, it had such authority over your life, you couldn't even get off of it, and four people had to bring you in and put you down in front of me. But now the authority, the voice of God says your sin is forgiven. You need to stand up immediately, obey, and you need to get up off your mat, and you need to grab it and tuck it under your arm and walk out of this room, because no longer is that the authority of your life, but me, the Son of the living God, is the authority of your life. And I just spoke into your life. And are you going to stay on that mat? Are you going to forgive yourself because I've forgiven you, and get off the mat and tuck it under your arm? See, some of you need to stop wallowing on your mat. Stop wallowing in your sin. Jesus has spoken, and he has shown compassion, and he has given great love. But see, you know, and you're going to stay there and stay there and stay there. And Jesus says, stop letting that have authority over your life. I'm the author of your life. I'm the authority of your life. I'm the author and the finisher of your faith. I'm the one that has been authorized by heaven and sent here to earth to let you know the love of your great God, of your creator. I'm the one that come with all authority to make it right. I'm the one that has the authority in the heavens and here on earth. I'm the one that has the authority to say, you can stand up and walk and pick up that mat and tuck it under your arm and go in a different direction. He is this good God. He is this amazing God, but you've got to choose. You've got to choose. I've got to choose. Am I going to wallow around in this sin? Or am I going to get up and I'm going to let Jesus have the authority over it? And I'm going to tuck it in my arm. And instead of it holding me back, I'm going to take and get over it. And I'm going to move forward with my life. See, not only do you need to obey, you need to also let Jesus become the authority. See, what Jesus is showing, because there were critics in the crowd, that says, who has the authority to forgive sin like this? Does he think he's God? That is blasphemy. And Jesus is saying, okay, watch this. That guy that's been laying around your neighborhood all his life on that mat because of his sin, guess what? I just told him that I have forgiven it. And he stood up, he tucked it under his arm, and he grabbed up the mat instead of letting the mat continue to pull him down. And he's now walking forward. See, you want to talk about a powerful testimony? It's not staying on the mat. It's getting up and going in a different direction. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was in darkness, but now I have seen light. And you know what? We have all been in that spot on the mat. And we can get on the mat and we can wallow on the mat, but Jesus is the authority to forgive us. And I'm here to tell you that God sees more in you than you see in yourself. Don't let your past sin hold you back from your future potential of what God wants to do in you. He has a purpose and a plan for your life, my friend. And there'll be people who hurt you. You're going to hurt people. All kinds of things are going to go on in this crazy world. But Jesus is the authority. Listen to his voice. He has great compassion on you. You can see yourself as a son, as a daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the question is, do you see yourself as divine royalty or do you see yourself as a low peasant? And God says, elevate yourself. It takes a humble heart to say, God, you're the authority of my life, and I'm not the own authority of my life. And there's some lowly earthly kings that need to humble their heart and come underneath the authority of Jesus. There's some wicked people in this earth, and they're carrying out wicked deeds. And they may look powerful in the flesh, but let me tell you something. There is an author that directs their steps and directs their path. And in the end, justice will be done to everything that hasn't submitted to his authority. I trust that with all of my heart. I'm not the divine judge. I'm not the person who decides, but Jesus is. And so you got to trust his forgiveness. And his forgiveness, my friend, is just as good for you as it is for me. He's not one to sit here and count to three, but he says, my death on a cross should be good enough once and for all of your sin. Trust it. Lastly, I wrote this down because Jesus didn't only say, stand up, grab your mat, pick it up. He also says, walk. And this could be one of the most tremendous things for you to understand about walking in forgiveness. Because when you walk in forgiveness and you walk by the power of the Spirit, what the Bible says is as you're walking, you're denying. As you're walking in one direction, you're denying the other direction. And this man came in one way. He walks out a whole different way. And walking by the power of the Spirit begins to deny the sins of the flesh. Let me show it to you. It's found in Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. It says it this way. It says in Galatians 5:16, the writer says, So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. Do you catch that? If you walk by the power of the Spirit, you will not gratify the power of the flesh. What that means is if you walk by the voice of the living God, the Holy Spirit who lives in you, the same one who came to meet with Jesus, who Jesus sent to earth after he returned to heaven. If you begin to hear his voice and partner with God's word and you walk in obedience and you walk in the right direction, what it says is these things that tend to pull you back, that gratify the flesh, they'll begin to lose their strength. A long time ago, I heard it this way. Is every person has a battle inside of them. And what you feed is what gets stronger. In other words, if I had two bulldogs pulling on side of me, and they were one pulling this way and one was pulling that way. Not Georgia Bulldogs. They did win yesterday, finally. Praise the Lord. Anyway, back to spiritual things. But if I had two dogs pulling on this side, one on this side, and one on this side, the one that's gonna pull me in the right direction is the one, or the wrong direction, is the one I feed the most, the strongest one. And so understand, when you feed off the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God begins to make you stronger in your walk, and you go in a different direction. So that means I got to feed the Spirit of God in me more than I feed my fleshly desires. But if all I'm doing is feeding my fleshly desires and that's becoming stronger, it begins to paralyze me and I can't walk in a different direction. Understand, God didn't come just to forgive you. He came to forgive you so that. I want you to say those two words with me, so that. Let's say them together. Oh, so that. Let's say it again, so that. It's a purpose clause, two words that thread all of Scripture. Abraham, I'm going to bless you so that you'll be a blessing. Understand, there's a so that behind your forgiveness. I'm going to forgive you so that you'll walk in new purpose and live this new life that I'm giving you. And my friend, you have to make a daily decision every day to take steps with the Spirit of God and not feed and gratify the desires of your flesh. But think about it. Everything around us here in this earth says, feed the flesh, feed the flesh, feed the flesh. It's all about you. It's all about your kids. It's all about your hair. It's all about, yeah, feed the flesh, 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 feed the flesh. Feed the flesh. But God says, I put a new life in you, a new spirit in you. Feed the Spirit. And the Bible says, you know what the evidence of it is? So this clear? Galatians 5:19 says this, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. Idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, and selfish ambition. Dissensions and factions. And envy and drunkenness and orgies and the like. So those are obvious. That's fleshly stuff. He says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit of God in you is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh and its passions and its desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. My friend, there is no person in this room perfect, including me. Imagine that. But nobody's perfect. But what we all should be doing is striving to be obedient and achieve perfection and achieve hitting that mark of God's glory. Living life on purpose. Living life with a purpose. And I hope that all the days of my life, I can live for the God of the universe and help other human beings see his glory and his greatness and submit myself to his authority. And though I've messed up, I want to get back up. I don't want to stay on a mat. I want to keep getting back up. I want to keep getting back up. I want to keep getting back up. And I want to show love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I'm a work in progress. You're a work in progress. But here's the deal. Are you walking in the right direction? Because when we as a family and as a church choose to walk by the power of the Spirit, oh my gosh, the stunned onlookers will begin to say, I want what's in them. What's feeding them? Give me some of that lunchbox. Because I guarantee you, it's awesome and it's incredible. Let me pray for you today. God, you're an amazing God. God, may we hunger and thirst after righteousness. God, may we recognize that you came to forgive us. And God, if there is one here today that hasn't received your forgiveness, God, I pray today would be the day of their salvation. My friend, it starts with understanding no matter where you've been, what you have done, or how far off course you have gotten, there's a God who will step into your situation right now. And he will heal your heart. Will you forgive yourself and receive his forgiveness? Will you trust what Christ has done? He says that his gift on the cross and the shedding of his blood was once and for all humanity's sin. And my friend, you have to choose to receive it. You say, God, today I receive that gift of salvation. And I'm going to forgive myself as you have already forgiven me. Tell God thank you for that gift. And then I'm going to ask you, from this point forward, you're not going to achieve perfection, but will you seek after God? Will you begin to run after him? Will you begin to seek his purpose and his passion and his plan for humanity and your life? And just say, God, today I want to live by the power of your Holy Spirit. I don't want to live and gratify the sins of my flesh, but I want to live by the power of your Spirit and walk forward. And just tell God, thank you for that gift. And today you receive the Holy Spirit and you begin to walk by his voice and his power. And my friend, I want you to understand that the reason God brings us out of that darkness and brings us into a wonderful light is so that we can glorify him and begin to point other people towards the one who has brought us off our mat and take us on a journey. So just tell God today you want to live purposefully and you want to be a part of what he's doing in this earth and ask him to grant you exactly the gifts that you need in order to fulfill that purpose and then begin to operate in those gifts. And let's see what God can do. Tell God, thank you for the gift. And we pray this prayer in Jesus' name, the one who has all authority in the heavens and here on earth. Jesus, thank you. Amen.